Yeah, thanks very much for that prayer, Paul. That was much appreciated. It's a joy to be here. It's a joy to be superintendent most of the time. But I would value your prayers. It's an interesting time. You know, there's that Chinese phrase, isn't there? May you live in, was a curse, isn't it? May you live in interesting times. Well, we are in interesting times. You know, you're in interesting times. The circuit's in interesting times. But it's not a curse. It's a blessing. It's given us challenges. So that's a good thing. And I'm really pleased that you've been doing the purpose-driven life. When I was minister over at Stratton in Swindon a few years ago, we did it there, and it was a real blessing to that church, and I hope it's been a blessing to you as well. We're here to look at the final purpose. You've got this far. Well done. And we are called to be sent. That's the message you're looking in this final week of the course. We are called to be sent. Or to put it another way, we are called for a mission. And the purpose of that mission can be summarized to bring others into God's family, to bring others into God's family. Our English word mission comes from a Latin word, missio, which means sending. We are being sent on a mission. And there's another Latin phrase, I should hasten to add, I failed O-level Latin, so this is only stuff I've read elsewhere. I'm not a Latin scholar. But there's a Latin phrase that sometimes describes what God is doing in the world. And that phrase is missio Dei. Missio Dei. It's a term that could be translated as the mission of God or the sending of God. So God's work itself is a mission. And that mission is the work of redeeming humanity. That's the purpose of God's own mission, to redeem us, his people. And God invites us to participate with him in the work of achieving that. We know salvation came through Jesus. I'm not saying otherwise, but we are called to participate in that work, to join in with God, to bring others into God's family and hence bring salvation to them. As I say, salvation was, of course, brought about through Jesus. But salvation of the world is an ongoing piece of work. It didn't just happen on Good Friday and with Easter. It's an ongoing thing. And we as God's people are meant to be part of that ongoing work. We are to join in with God's mission. And it's really important, I think, to think of it that way. So often we think of mission as the church doing something. But actually, the mission is God's. And the mission is already happening. We are just being sent to join in with what God is already doing. Over 20 years ago now, a South African theologian called David J. Bosch wrote a book that's regarded as quite a leading explanation of the purpose and work of a mission. And that book was called Transforming Mission. I must admit it's not a very easy read. It's quite a dense book. And yet, there are some things in that book that we can tease out and learn from. And it's very relevant for our final purpose. So according to David J. Bosch, mission isn't primarily an activity of the church, but it's an attribute of God. It's a quality of God. God is a missionary God. So let me read that again. Mission is not primarily an activity of the church, but it's an attribute of God. God is a missionary God. So mission derives very much from God, and we join in with God in that mission. Another theologian, I'm going to throw some names at you today. Another theologian by the name of Jürgen Moltmann says this: it is not the church that has a mission of salvation to fulfill the word. to fulfill in the world. It is the mission of the Son and the Spirit through the Father that includes the church. So in other words, we shouldn't think this is something we are doing. We are just working through God. We're being empowered by the Spirit to save people through Christ. We are called to be sent on that mission. To save others, to bring others to Christ, to bring others into God's family, to join God and His Son, our Saviour Jesus, in the work of God's mission, powered by the Holy Spirit. That's what that theologian Jürgen Moltmann is saying. And going back, throw another quote at you from David Bosch. He says this: our mission has no life of its own. Only in the hands of the sending God can it truly be called mission. Not least since the missionary initiative comes from God alone. So I think this is really important to emphasize. Our mission has no life of its own. It's only in the hands of the sending God can it truly be called mission. All too often, I think, in churches, we come up with great ideas and we badge it as mission or outreach. And it might be. But is it? Or is it something we do because we can do it, rather than take on the harder tasks that are really God's mission? I think that's a question for all churches. I was taking a part of a Lent course at over in Swindon at Bath Road a couple of weeks back, and it was an ecumenical course, and the vicar of Old Town was chairing it, and out of nowhere he threw me some question which didn't seem anything related to what I was talking about, but anyway, we don't go there. But it was valid, because he was asking, well, you know, what really should we in the Old Town Partnerships, that's the three churches in Old Town in Swindon, what should we really be focusing on? And I pretty much said this: well, actually, you know, you need to be focusing on what's really important. What is God's mission? Not just doing lots of things because it's the right thing to do. You know, we need to focus on that. And I quoted at that time, and it's a good phrase. I remember this from my life in business. We ought to be sticking to the knitting, doing what we can, but with God's seal over it. So not just doing something because we think it's trendy, but doing God's work. So that's what David Bosch is on about. So mission then is quite simply the participation of Christians in the mission of Jesus. That's what Bosch goes on to say. It is the good news of God's love. Love incarnated in the witness of the community. So we show, as the community of Christ, we show God's love, Christ's love, to those around us. Our mission is a continuation of Jesus' ministry on earth. And as his followers, we are called to finish what he started. Or at least, if not finish it, that will come when Christ comes again. But we are at least to continue leading that way. And Jesus calls us not only to come to him, but to, you know, he says that, doesn't he? Come to him, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. He says that. But more importantly, he says we are to go for him. And if you read in your books, you will see a number of examples of Bible verses where this is stated. There are five key ones that are mentioned. Matthew chapter 28, 19 to 20. The Great Commission, we've heard that. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Luke 24, verse 27. John 20, verse 21. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm not quoting all those passages. You can look them up. But the one we're going to really think about now is that first one, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. And this idea of going for Jesus, I think, was so important that he felt he needed to repeat it five times so that we really got the message. We are to go for him. And if we read these five verses, these five passages, we see the details of our mission on earth. They are the when, the where, the why, and the how of us doing mission in God's name. So that verse that Paul read for us as part of the passage from Matthew. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Great Commission, it's called. That's the, you know, that really should be the priority. Everything that's set out there. It's words that Jesus addresses to the original disciples, but it's directed to us as well. And it's not the great suggestion or the great, well, you know, if you've got some free time, you might like to do it. It's the Great Commission. And as members of God's family, this is what we're to do. We are to be missionary. But remember what I said earlier. We are joining in with God. We are working with him in his mission. We are not alone in what we are doing. We are God's co-workers. We get to work with God in the building of his kingdom. That's what this is about, which is amazing when you stop and think of it. But we are asked to join with him in building his kingdom. A kingdom that is built on the foundations of salvation through Jesus Christ. In our mission with God, then we are working with him. 400 years ago, a nun by the name of Saint Teresa of Avila put it this way, and you may have come across this quote, it's very famous. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. I think that's a really good thing to remember. That we are God's people. We are Christ's people. And we are doing the mission for Christ. And when we are carrying out the mission, when we are working with God, we are representing him. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, puts it this way. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And I quite like how Eugene Peterson puts it in his Message version of the Bible. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. We are Christ's representatives. We're speaking for Christ himself now. For me, that's something really important to remember. When we join in the mission, we have to act to the best of our abilities. We have to act like Christ. We have to love like God to the best of our abilities. Sadly, too often through the ages, Christians seem to have forgotten that. And consequently, countless numbers of people have been turned away from Christ through the actions of those who purport to represent him. It's worth reflecting on that.
A few years back, we did an exchange of ministries to North Carolina in America. And one particular Saturday, we sort of drove out into the hills there to a very pretty town called Asheville. And after, we found out that Asheville has a bit of a reputation as being a bit strange. But actually, it's really good. Perhaps that says a lot about me, but I don't know. But anyway, this particular day on Asheville, they were having a carnival, I guess, celebrating arts. There are quite a lot of writers and musicians and poets and painters who are drawn to Asheville, and it gives it that, what's the word, bohemian atmosphere, I suppose. So we're walking through the town, enjoying it, and looking at the stalls and listening to music, and we came to the main town square. And there in the middle of the town square was a good old-fashioned hellfire preacher, like everyone you've seen in every American film. Oh boy, he was going for it. And he had on either side of him these posters. I think we've got pictures. That's one before that. Don't worry if we've missed it. Doesn't matter. But anyway, he had these pull-up banners that you do. And they listed America, God's hate sin. Well, I've no problem with that. But then he lists all the kind of sins. And I'm looking at these thinking, might have done that one. Well, I've certainly done that one. I didn't do all of them, that's the good thing. But he was ranting, he was raving. I'm not really sure he was achieving a great deal. It was entertaining, but was he winning others to Christ? I don't know. We walked round the corner, and there was a stall run by the Episcopalians, the Anglicans. And they had some banners as well, one of which said, God loves you, no exceptions. And they were offering people free glasses of lemonade, offering to pray, just have conversation with people. And to me, they were perhaps better representatives of Christ than the hellfire preacher. Don't get me wrong. We have to challenge sin. We have to tackle sin as an issue. But there are ways of doing it, and thumping people over the head with a big black Bible isn't necessarily going to achieve it, in my opinion. And that brings me to the other slide we've had a sneak preview of. This is an American writer and pastor called John Pavlovitz, and he came up with this phrase. He's written a whole book off the back of it since. But if God is love, don't be a jerk. And I think that's a really good motto for us all to remember when we are trying to engage with people, that we are to show God's love, but don't be a jerk when you do it. It's a good thing to reflect on. Looking around the room today, there are quite a few people like me, you know, of age, late 50s, early 60s. There are some a lot younger. Good luck to you. There's a few older. Good luck to you. But those of us of an age who grew up in the 60s and 70s no doubt remember a TV series called Mission Impossible. It's been made into films nowadays. It's not as good. You know, Tom Hanks, he's fine, but he's never going to be Jim Phelps. If we remember that series back in the day, every episode, let me explain if you're too young to know about this, he was a spy, and every episode started with Jim Phelps being, it was normally in a phone box, don't know why, mobile phones didn't exist then, children, and he was given a mission. It was on a tape, and at the end of the tape would self-destruct. All that is incredible. But the catchphrase every week was, your mission, Jim, if you decide to accept it, is, and that's set up the story for the week. We are called to be Jim Phelps. Our mission, should we decide to accept it, is to join in with God, his Son, our Saviour Jesus, in taking salvation to the world, to bring others into God's kingdom. It sounds a bit flippant, should we decide to accept it, but we do have a choice. But our calling is to be working that mission out. I was really interested in that little testimony Paul gave of how he, in his 20s, wrestled with whether he was being called to be, you know, a full-time evangelist, calling to some sort of ordained ministry, but God said, no, I want you where you are, Paul. I want you singing those songs in the factory and talking to people. Because not everyone is called to be a full-time evangelist. Not everyone is called to be an ordained minister or whatever it is. Most of us are called to be witnesses to Christ where we are. And Corinne was around somewhere. As you know, she's a street pastor. And I think the founder of Street Pastors, Les Isaacs, has always said to street pastors that in their witness out on the streets of wherever they are, you know, the best approach is not to hit people over the head with a 4x2 Bible, as Isaacs put it. And again, I purposely got out my big black ordination Bible today. We're not going to win people like that by thumping them over the head, literally or metaphorically. We win people with love by being those representatives of Christ. God wants us to share the good news where we are. And God wants you to share the good news in the way that's real for you. Yes, if you are called to be an evangelist and go and stand on the town bridge and preach, well, good for you. I'm not knocking that. I'm really not. But my suspicion is most of us will never feel comfortable doing that. And most of us would have more opportunity to witness and bring people to faith by getting alongside them and loving them. And while we're doing it, not being a jerk. So a reminder, in case you haven't got it, the mission we are called to accept is this. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And we go with the assurance that God will be with us always to the end of the age. The purpose of this church, your strapline now, is to connect people with Jesus for life, hope, and more. That is a real outworking of the mission we are called to. All of us are called to. So I hope and I pray that as you've worked through this course now over these last few weeks and we get to this final week of reflection, this will be a wake-up call to every one of us that we are called to this mission, to called to bring others to Christ, to teach them the good news, the love that only Christ can give. So that's your mission. Are you willing to accept it? Well, it was sort of rhetorical, but if you want to reply, feel free. Yes? Okay, well, maybe you need to work on that this week. I caught you unawares, that's a bit unfair. But I really hope and pray that you will accept that mission and witness to those you encounter in whatever way is appropriate. Amen.